Hello, everyone. Once again, welcome into That SEC Podcast. This is episode number 19, getting ready here for week 7 action in the SEC. I'm Cody McClure, and I'm joined, as always, by Michael Bratton, SEC Mike. What is going on today, my friend?
Hey, Cody, you hear that noise in the background?
Yeah, what is that?
Well, if you didn't know, Arkansas, they just got the biggest win of the Brett Bielema tenure this week. The buyout for Bielema, everyone thought it was around $15.4 million. Turns out, if they let him go by the end of the year, it's around $5 million. So that's the biggest win of his career right there. What do you make of that?
Oh, man, Arkansas fans are happy about that, playing the fight song and everything. That's, that's something. I saw that, man. I saw that earlier this week, and that is something else. I tried to figure out, I'm going to be honest with you, I still don't know how it is only $5 million or $5.9 million, because I tried to do all the math. I read the report from the Arkansas Democrat Gazette, tried to do the math on it, had no idea what the hell they were talking about. So I'm just trusting them that it's down to $5.9 million.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting, because if that math checks out, that's if they let him go around December 1, which would be immediately after the regular season. If they wait until January 1, it'll actually go down to about $4.5 million. And, I think that will be that's going to be a key date there, because if I'm an Arkansas fan and they do decide to move on from Brett Bielema and they wait till that January 1 date, they're probably going to miss out potentially on some good candidates that could be taken, by other schools, and they'll miss the window for the early signing period, but it'll save them, a little over $1 million. If they pull that stunt, I would be extremely mad if I was a Razorback fan, because at this level, I just don't think you can be that cheap to where you're trying to save $1 million. But I don't know. We'll just have to see what happens.
Yeah, at this level, I mean, $1 million is not that much money. Like, you've got to make sure that you hire the right coach. And, of course, the flip side to that might be if maybe that extra $1 million would help you to hire a better coach. You can throw that in. That's an extra $1 million you've got with assistant money and all that kind of stuff. But, like you said, by the time that time rolls around, you might be looking at coaches that you wouldn't normally hire, that wouldn't have been on your radar, because all the good ones might have already taken jobs, as you pointed out. So I think you got to make the move. That month is critical, the month of December. So I think you got to make the move early there and forget the $1 million.
Speaking of coaching changes, not that there's been one yet in the SEC since the regular season started, but seeing John Gruden show up in Knoxville, I mean, that's sent Vol Twitter, it's on fire right now. He's in Market Square. John Gruden's in town. What do you make of that?
Oh, man. Mike, I was looking around on Friday on Twitter, and it just, I don't know. At some point, Vol Twitter is just going to explode. I don't know. I don't know how it's going to happen. All this stuff keeps building up. The quarterback drama, the Butch Jones drama, and now groomers just adding on top of it. It has been a crazy week over here in Knoxville, and I think it's just, it's nuts. The stuff with groomer is, I mean, people point out, like, they're asking all kinds of things. Is he in town just for the South Carolina game? Was he in town just to see his kid? Because apparently he's got a kid that goes to UT, which I had no idea that was a thing, but he does. And then some people are saying, well, he's already around for the Titans game, because the Titans Monday Night Football are playing the Colts and he's calling it. But still, yet that's in Nashville. Mm-hmm. This is Knoxville, as about 2.5 hour difference there. So I don't know. He's just casually strolling around Market Square on Friday, and I thought that was it was pretty cool, pretty crazy, and of course people just went berserk.
Hey, for our sakes, let's just hope he goes to the game and he sits next to John Curry and the internet explodes. I mean, that would be great for us.
Oh, man, best photo op ever. Butch Jones, Butch would be so rattled by that. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've got to think he would. I had heard somebody else said he was going to practice on Friday. Don't know if that was true at all. I mean, Butch has had him, you know, in to speak with the team and stuff before. So I think that they are sort of friends. I expect that, you know, I think they have a decent relationship. But, you know, I mean, it's got to be awkward between those two right now with the heat on Butch and half the fan base wanting Tennessee to hire Gruden. So, I don't know, man. It's wild. Going to be wild depending on what we see tomorrow.
Well, you know, and it's understandable why Tennessee fans would be freaking out. You know, obviously that's a huge name. He's been thrown out there by people like Paul Feinbaum saying that Tennessee may be interested in him. But do you think at all that this reaction and just like, I mean, let's just say he may just be in town to go to lunch and see his son, but it's causing such a buzz. Is there any way in your mind that's, you know, leaves a negative impression with John Gruden? Is like, why would I want to coach this place where if I just show up, it just turns upside down? Do you think that's a positive in his mind, or do you think that would be a negative at all?
I think it would be a positive if the fact that he sees a fan base that is that passionate toward a coach, mm-hmm. you know. I imagine he's seeing the flip side of that, too. He knows what it's like to be a fired football coach, so he's seeing the flip side with Butch Jones right now as well. And, I mean, Gruden started the whole Fired Football Coaches of America, so he knows all about it as well as anybody does. But he seems like the kind of guy, you know, there's a few programs that have that high of a standard when it comes to their coach, that the pressure is that high. I think Alabama's like that. I think Michigan is like that. Probably, you know, Florida, Georgia, USC, Texas, maybe. There are certain programs where the standard's higher. The pressure is much harder, much hotter, I guess. And so I think that Gruden would respect that. I think he would be appreciate a fan base with that kind of passion.
Yeah, and I think Tennessee fans in particular would give him a nice grace period, as we're like, you know, a lot of people think that, you know, I obviously think it too. I think it's more realistic that if he does come back into coaching, it would be in the NFL, but I don't think an NFL fan base, as much as, you know, as excited as they would be to have him, you know, I think if he had a losing record in his first year, I mean, I think they'd be over it. You know what I mean? Whereas at Tennessee, let's say he went 8-4 or something, I think they'd still be all in on John Gruden for at least 2 to 3 seasons.
Yeah, and I do wonder how realistic all this stuff is. I mean, the guy hasn't even coached in, what, 9 years? I mean, 2008 was the last year he coached in Tampa Bay, and he's never ran a college program. So, you know, people are really high on him. They love I think people, honestly, though, get a little bit kind of distracted by the celebrity status with him. Mm-hmm. I think there are a lot of good football coaches out there that are probably better than John Gruden.
Well, let's just hope, you know, if he does get hired, he comes back to the SEC. That'll be very interesting. But, you know, hopefully he's taken some leadership reps in between not having a job.
Hopefully. And Butch Jones would certainly be proud of him for doing that, because it's always good. You know, when you can't get a physical rep, sometimes you can't even get a mental rep. And so I don't know if a lot of people know the difference there, but if you can't get a mental rep, you have to get a leadership rep. And those help shape players week to week. I mean, you know all about leadership reps, right?
Unfortunately, I know too much about them at this point, and I'm pretty much ready for the cliches to end.
I have no idea what a leadership rep is. No clue. I said earlier this week on Twitter that if this doesn't stop soon, John Curry's going to take a termination rep. So that's kind of where I'm at on the Tennessee program right now.
All right, happy note. Let's get into the Week 7 game, should we?
Sounds good. We got a lot of good ones this week. I mean, well, I think they're good, but, you know, you and me are kind of SEC junkies too. So mm-hmm. On a national scale, they may not be all that good.
Well, let's start with the first game. It's on SEC Network. It's going to be a noon kickoff. and this is a rematch of a game from last year, BYU at Mississippi State. And I've got Mississippi State as a 23-point favorite in that game. I like Mississippi State big in this game. I'll go Mississippi State 45, BYU 10.
Okay, pretty bold. I do think Mississippi State bounces back. This BYU team is not very good. I think you pointed out in the early week podcast that they last year they were losing all their games close. Now they are not losing any games close. They're getting blown out. Mississippi State desperate for a quality win after its last two showings against Auburn and Georgia. So a game in Starkville, I do expect Mississippi State to come out and play well. I'm not going to go quite as much of a blowout as you. Maybe it's part of the noon game factor. But I do think Mississippi State's still a significant favorite. So I'll take the Bulldogs to win this game 30-10.
Okay, and the reason why I have them winning by so much, I still think this is a top 25, top 30 type team right now. They, you know, they're loaded on the defensive side with a lot of talent, but a lot of that talent's inexperienced. So, you know, it was no surprise to see them go on the road and struggle a bit, especially considering the caliber of the opponents. I think Georgia and Auburn are top 8 teams in the nation. So I think just about anyone else is going to go into those stadiums and get beat like they did. Mississippi State at this point is very one-dimensional on offense, and they got down in both those games. And once you get down and you can't throw the ball, you know, that's kind of a recipe for disaster there. So I think Mississippi State's a lot better program than I think a lot of people think right now. And I just, as you noted, I think BYU's terrible. So I like Mississippi State for a big bounce back here.
All right. I can get on board with that.
All right. The only other noon game this week in the SEC, this one's on ESPN, South Carolina at Tennessee. Tennessee is currently a 3-point favorite, and that opened at Tennessee minus 2. And I actually like South Carolina big in this one. I'm going to go South Carolina 27, Tennessee 13.
So you do think that the wheels have just kind of fallen off for Tennessee? This doesn't feel like a bounce back kind of game from Georgia, you know, off a bye week.
Yeah, I mean, normally I think I would actually pick Tennessee to win this game. I think they have more talent. I think they have better coaching, despite what all the bad press their coaching staff has gotten this year. But there's just too much drama, in my opinion, and there's just so much bad mojo there. I mean, obviously this is a must-win game. I think there's so much pressure, so much just stuff going on behind the scenes. I don't see the Vols getting it done.
Okay. Well, I'm going to go with Tennessee to win 20-17 in this game. It's just felt like a Tennessee win to me all week. They're starting Garantano, and as crazy as that locker room has been, as much drama as there has been, as much heat as there's been on Butch Jones, from what I've heard, it's been a very productive week. Tennessee had a really good bye week. Butch Jones, I mean, he said that publicly. But I've heard that the team is really kind of together more than you would probably expect them to be with, you know, because the outside noise is so negative and it's so overwhelming. Like Tennessee is just, it's a foregone conclusion that Butch Jones is out at Tennessee. And I do, honestly, I do tend to believe that Butch Jones will be out at Tennessee before the season's over. But I think for the most part, I really do think he's still got the locker room together. I think a lot of players are behind him. I think Tennessee's going to bounce back, and I think they're going to beat this South Carolina team. Close game, always close. It's been decided by 3 points or less every year since 2012. Mm-hmm. So I like Tennessee. Field goal game once again, 20-17, low scoring in Knoxville. I think the Vols get it done.
Yeah, two interesting stats real quick. I'm not looking at the field goal stats, but I tweeted this out earlier. South Carolina on the year is, I believe, 5-for-12 kicking field goals, which is abysmal. Tennessee, I think, is 3-for-7, 3-for-8. So neither one of these teams is very good kicking the ball. It very well could come down to a kick or two, and that's something to watch there. And one other stat that this is one that I've been monitoring with Will Muschamp ever since he's been at South Carolina, and it continues to trend this way. But whenever a Muschamp team has scored 18 or more points, he has a 33-9 record. When they score 17 or less, they're 5-21. So that's kind of like the magic number right there. So if South Carolina can get to 18 or more, you know, look for them to win this game. If not, I like Tennessee in this one.
That's an interesting stat. And I do wonder if Tennessee's defense will be able to contain Jake Bentley. You know, the one area Tennessee might have an advantage here, Tennessee has the number one pass defense in the SEC. However, you could say that's a little bit skewed because of the fact that nobody's had to throw the ball on Tennessee. I mean, they haven't gone up against a decent quarterback even. I mean, the best quarterback they've seen is probably Jake Fromm, and Georgia didn't have to throw the ball. So, but, you know, the numbers, statistically, Tennessee is number one in the SEC in pass defense. So through five games, they haven't given up hardly any big plays through the air. And that would certainly be South Carolina's strength on offense.
Yeah, and Jake Bentley actually he's been somewhat struggling in the past three or four games. So, you know, he's an excellent player. He's got plenty of highlights in his arm, but he's been very inconsistent. So if that trend continues, it could be a good game for Tennessee's defense. All right, the big national game. This is one of my favorite games every year in the SEC. Auburn at LSU. Auburn's a 7-point favorite, and I like Auburn not only to win but to cover. I'll take Auburn 27, LSU 17.
You said Auburn 27-17. That's interesting because I've got Auburn 23-13. So I think we're looking at this kind of in a similar way. I think that LSU will play with Auburn for a bit, probably for a half. I think it'll be an interesting game. I don't think that LSU, the way I see this being, is one of those games where LSU is never really, they never really threaten Auburn. Mm-hmm. Auburn leads throughout, and it's fairly comfortable, but LSU never goes away. It seems like Auburn's never really too comfortable in this game, but they end up pulling out about a 10-point win. That's my take on it. So it sounds like you're kind of looking at it similarly. I've got them Auburn 23-13.
Yeah, and really the only reason I have it so close, you know, obviously it's on the road. Auburn's not won there since 1999. You know, this is a good series, but at the same time, I think LSU's getting overvalued for beating Florida. I don't think Florida's a very good team. And I don't even think that was that great of a performance beating them last week. They only won by 1 point. And I don't know if you heard this story, but apparently Joe Oliva, the LSU AD, he comes into the facility every Sunday and breaks down film with Coach O to give him notes and advice. And you know, that's a troubling sign in my opinion. And apparently the meeting that was well publicized last week leading up to that Florida game with Coach O, the AD, Joe Oliva, and the coordinators, essentially Joe Oliva told Coach O, you know, we hired these coordinators, let them do their job, stop messing around with them. And you know, obviously it worked, they got the win, but that's a lot of behind the scenes just does not sound good to me.
Yeah, that's kind of weird. I mean, I don't know how common that is. I've never heard of an athletic director doing that, going in and breaking down film with a head coach. If I was Coach O, I would feel kind of, I would feel like he was too much involved in my job if that were the scenario.
Right, and I think the feeling around the program is that Coach O doesn't know what the hell he's doing, and in a sense of being a head coach. You know, he's a elite recruiter, elite defensive line coach, but I guess he needs help in other aspects, and you know, I just don't know how far you can go with that. And going up against an Auburn team that is so balanced on offense, has such a good defense, and an elite kicking game, you know, I don't think there's any way LSU wins this one.
Yeah, me neither. I think that's going to be a game that Auburn certainly should win. I mean, a lot of people are kind of leaning with LSU because of the simply because of those numbers that we talked about. You know, they haven't won in Death Valley since 1999. Not only that, Auburn has gone in there as a top 10 team three times since then and has lost. So people are pointing to that, and you know, I understand that. You know, maybe history tends to repeat itself, whatever. But not in this case. Not in this case. That LSU team is not good enough to beat Auburn.
All right, the 3:30 SEC Network game. Vanderbilt's traveling to Oxford to take on Ole Miss. Ole Miss is a field goal favorite in this one, and I like Ole Miss by 5. I'll go Ole Miss 33, Vanderbilt 28.
Okay, so you flipped this week, right? Because the last time we talked, I thought that you were leaning with Vanderbilt on Sunday. Was that just with the spread?
Well, yeah, and I just kind of more research into this game, and I just think that, these teams, they match up in a lot of categories, but I think Ole Miss has more elite talent in specific positions, and I think that'll be enough to give them the edge in this one.
Okay, I do agree with you. I think that Ole Miss has the edge in this game, mainly because of the talent. Vanderbilt's not a very good team. We've seen that. They've been exposed 3 weeks in a row. I mean, you saw Georgia destroy them, Alabama destroyed them, even Florida handled them pretty well in a game that a lot of people thought would be close. And Florida is certainly not a very good football team. So, yeah, I'm with you. I think Ole Miss wins the game. I've actually got Ole Miss with even a little bit more of a comfortable win in Oxford. I think it's going to be 31 to 17 Rebels.
All right. Now let's talk about. I think this is going to be the best game of the week in the SEC. Texas A&M travels to Florida. That's going to be at 7 o'clock on ESPN2. Florida's a field goal favorite as well, and I like Florida in their swamp ass uniforms of
Yeah,
21, Texas A&M 17. And what's your take on that game and those ugly uniforms?
the uniforms they're ugly, but honestly, I'm one of those people that didn't think they were as ugly as some others did. I thought they were ugly, but they're not the ugliest uniforms I've ever seen, as some people said. To me, it's Maryland. The uniforms that Maryland won a couple years ago with the flag, those were garbage. Florida's not much better, but you know, going to be kind of tough to watch. But the way I see this one, Florida, forget the uniforms, forget the gimmicks, whatever. It's not going to matter. I think Florida is going to get beaten down in this game. I think Texas A&M is going to come into the swamp on the road, and I think they are going to pummel Florida 31 to 13 Aggies.
Well, okay, so we see it a little differently. Now, I could certainly see why you would think that, and I understand why it seems like the majority of people are leaning towards A&M in this game. But I think that the Aggies, there's just so much youth on that team. I think, they were very impressive last week in the second half in College Station against Alabama. They've been impressive the last several weeks. They haven't faced a true road game since UCLA, and that's when they melted down, obviously. So, I just think going into a very hostile environment, we're going to see a different team. I think the freshmen will be somewhat exposed in this game, and that's why I see Florida winning a very tight game.
Interesting. Kevin Sumlin said that this team has gotten better every week, and you know, I'm not taking too much out of that. I mean, coaches say that all the time, but the numbers say the same thing for me. I mean, I saw them beat Arkansas and South Carolina. Not that those are great teams. They're not. They're not. They just aren't. They're not great SEC teams. But A&M got the job done in those games. They have looked better to me incrementally by the week in the performance against Alabama. You can call it a moral victory, call it whatever you want to, but I walked away very impressed with Texas A&M. I think they're going to continue to build on it. And I'm not saying that Texas A&M is a great team. I don't think an 18-point win over Florida would prove that they're a great team. I just think Florida, honestly, is that bad. And I think Texas A&M is going to go in there and they're just going to pound them. So I'll stick with it. I'll stick with 31-13 Aggies.
And here's another key stat that I researched and found that supports that could happen. Kevin Sumlin at Texas A&M, His record is 44-6 when the Aggies rush for at least 150 yards. Florida's averaging, allowing 156 rushing yards, so just slightly over that. So if A&M can get to that magic number, they have an outstanding chance of winning this game.
And I do think they'll get there. But, you know, the Vegas would tend to side with you here. I mean, A&M is a 2.5-point underdog, so should be interesting. I am interested to see how this game turns out.
All right, the night ESPN game, Arkansas at Alabama. That'll be at 7:15 on ESPN. Alabama's a 30-point underdog is what I have it at. And I like Alabama not only to win but to cover. I'm going to go Alabama 56, Arkansas 7.
I've got Alabama 49-7. I do think that Alabama will roll. They will cover. I just didn't have them getting into the 50s. I don't really know why. I don't have a good reason why. Maybe just be – they might score 60. I don't know. But once you get to a certain number, to me it doesn't really matter, except, you know, if you're betting on it. But once you get to a certain point, 42, 45, 49, whatever, I think Bama – 49-7, going to be a bloodbath. Arkansas has no prayer in this game, and Arkansas fans are extremely upset, and for good reason, with the news that we saw come out last night about Austin Allen and how Bielema said basically, he's going to give it a go. We'll see how it works out in the first half. Not really the team you want to be playing when you're just going to give it a go. You know what I mean?
Well, you know... You know, this is essentially, in my mind, like a pick your score type game for Alabama. They can score whatever they want, whatever score they're happy with. They may just stop and put in the third string and probably score a couple more touchdowns. But you know, as we opened with, this has been a great week for Razorback Nation. I think they'll be tuned out to this game, starting to think of that $5 million buyout. So they're the big winners this week. And I don't even really want to go into this game anymore, but I do want to ask you about this. You wrote an article on Saturday Down South about this Alabama fan who's petitioning against the SEC refs for their multiple flags, they always call them, the Tide.
Oh, man. Yeah. That guy actually called me out. That guy, Ricky G, is his name in the article, right? Well, Ricky G sent me a message on Twitter, and he said, "I am Ricky G." His actual name's Ricky Green. And he tried to explain the petition all to me, and basically was talking about how I was being a smartass. And he said, "But hey, thanks for helping bring attention to a just cause." And I didn't respond to it.
I mean, how out of touch, I mean, how out of, you know, reality do you have to be to think that, you know, the refs are out to get Alabama?
Well, that's why I didn't respond. I didn't want to put him down any worse than, you know, the guy's obviously, that's the kind, you're not going to win an argument with someone like that. You know what I mean? Ricky G is so out of touch with reality, he has no idea. I went and looked at his numbers, and in fairness, he's right. Last year, Alabama was like the most penalized team in America, but you've got to look at the other side, too. You've got to look at opponent penalties, you know, penalties against the other opponent as well, and it's not like some vast difference. It's not like Alabama is the most penalized, and then their opponents are the least penalized. It kind of averages out. So
now, was he going with total penalties, do you know?
I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I looked it up, and he was accurate with part of what he said, but he didn't dive deep enough, basically.
Because, I mean, Alabama played 15 games last year, which was probably two more than almost everyone else, you know?
Well, that's another good point. That's another good point. So... and I don't even know that I factored that in. So,
and I think, you know, when you have a team that's that deep and that talented and that aggressive, I think, you know, you certainly, I don't want to insinuate that Nick Saban's a dirty coach, because I don't think he is at all. But, you know, I think you tell your guys to kind of like push the limit, you know, be physical, play hard, play to the whistle. And I think that leads itself to some, occasionally getting a 15-yard penalty for a late hit or what have you, because, you know, 15-yard penalty against Alabama defense, That's not going to kill you. You know what I mean? But,
yeah.
But those shots you're putting in, I mean, the opponent will always remember that. And, you know, that's kind of the way the Bobby Bowden Florida State teams played. I think Alabama has that same edge. And I think Nick Saban, you know, he'd probably never admit it, but he'll take a 15-yard penalty here or there if it puts that into the opposing offense's head that, you know, we're coming for you and it's not going to stop, you know?
Well, I think every coach, you know, they want their teams to be aggressive. They want their guys to be physical. They want them to be a little bit mean. Mm-hmm. You know, I do think that they encourage that. That's just football. That mean streak, that nastiness. But I think Alabama's problem is Alabama is like the bully on the playground that doesn't know his own strength. Right. You know what I mean? Like when, you know, if Mississippi State tells their team to be physical, well, that's fine. They can go be physical, whatever. It's another physical battle with an average team, whatever. But Alabama, like, they go out and just kill people. Like, I look at them as a bully on the playground who's just beating up on the little guy, you know. And sometimes I think Alabama doesn't know its own strength. But yeah, I kind of get what you're saying. I think that makes a lot of sense.
All right, the final game this week in the SEC, it's on SEC Network at 7:30. Missouri travels to Georgia. Georgia's a 30.5-point favorite, so he's slightly bigger than Alabama. And I obviously like Georgia in this game, but I like Missouri to cover. I'm going to go Georgia 38, Missouri 17.
To me, there's no way that Missouri covers because I think Georgia will just run down their throat. Spread is what, at about 30?
I have it at 30.5.
30.5. I do think, well, okay. Well, I'm not, my score is not really that crazy different than yours. I don't think that Missouri covers, but maybe it's not as far off as I thought. I'm going to give Drew Locke 2 touchdowns on Georgia's defense, which I think might be a little high because Georgia's defense is so good, but I do like Drew Locke. But I expect Georgia to just gash Missouri pretty bad. So I've got the Dogs 48-14.
You know, a big reason why I think Missouri will cover in this game, I'm starting to come around on Georgia. I think they have the best defense in the SEC right now. That's why I kind of put them number one in my power rankings last week. And obviously, their offensive line looks better and better each week, and we all know about their running game. But I just think that after so many games playing at a high level, I don't know. You know, this team is not, they're not Alabama yet. So, you know, I hate hearing that because, you know, they've won 6 games, you know, until they get a decade of dominance. Let's not try to compare them to that.
Right.
I think they're due for a letdown. And you know, not to say they're ever going to be threatened in this game, but I just don't know if they're just going to steamroll Missouri. I don't think any team that Georgia's played to this point has tested them at all through the air. So I think they don't quite know what they have in the secondary. I think this is going to be their biggest challenge in that phase of the game. Missouri showed a lot of signs of life. Obviously, they lost another tough game to Kentucky last week. But I like Missouri to have a little bit stronger showing than people realize at this point.
Okay. I mean, I think that's a pretty reasonable way to look at it. I mean, because you do expect maybe a letdown at some point, but if it's a good team, a really solid team like Georgia, even in a letdown, you still expect a fairly significant win. So mm-hmm. I think most Georgia fans would be totally okay with that if, you know, if their team, because it's hard to maintain that level. You can't play as well as they've played every week, but when you've got a team as good as Georgia, I do think that would be okay because some teams can have an off week and still get a comfortable win against a bad team. Other teams have an off week and they, you know, they come within 4 points of losing to a winless UMass team. So it depends on what kind of team you're dealing with.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. You know, if Georgia has an quote unquote off week and they win an SEC game by 20 points, that's when you know you've got a really good team.
Yeah, that tells you kind of how good they really are.
All right, any other thoughts before we jump off here?
I don't guess so. I'm just, you know, excited to see these games. Once again, I think that I'm with you on Texas A&M, Florida. That's probably the one most intriguing to me Auburn LSU also pretty intriguing to me, and I'm going to try to catch part of the South Carolina-Tennessee game. I'll be in Knoxville, so I'll try to watch part of that one, actually, at the stadium. But maybe the only reason I'll be watching the night games, the Alabama-Georgia games, pretty much just to see if they cover, because I'll probably have money on those teams. But other than that, just looking forward to another good weekend.
You know, speaking of that Texas A&M-Florida game, do you think that the loser of that game is any danger of potentially losing his job?
I really don't at this point. I feel like the heat is kind of backed off of Kevin Sumlin, unless they go into Florida and it's just they get beat ugly somehow or another, but I really don't see that happening. Mm-hmm. But I think the leash has gotten a little bit longer for Sumlin, and I think that with McElwain, I do think it's going to really heat up. If Florida loses... go ahead, sorry.
What happens if, you know, obviously I think the fans are really frustrated with the Florida offense. Let's say they put up, you know, 14 points against A&M, lose that game, then they have a bye week, and then they get crushed by Georgia, which I think most people are probably assuming is going to happen. I think then, I wouldn't think they're gonna straight up fire him, but... I think there's going to be some serious, serious doubts about his future at that point.
Well, that's kind of where I would put it, too. I was going to say if my scenario happens and A&M goes in and wins comfortably, I think Florida fans are going to start getting a lot louder than they have been. And a lot of them are already unhappy. But I think they are going to start getting louder and louder, and the pressure will continue to build. But it's hard for me to say that they would get rid of McElwain even this year. I mean, with the back-to-back East titles, even this year, unless things just really, really went off the rails and Florida ended up kind of losing, you know, I don't know, 7 of their last 8 or 6 of their last 7 or something like that.
Yeah. Now, in that scenario we just played out, A&M and Georgia, if they lose both of those, they would have to win 3 of their final 4 to go to a bowl game. And that would include trips to Missouri and South Carolina and then the finale at home against Florida State. So certainly doable, but not a given. I couldn't imagine coming off 2 SEC East titles and then missing a bowl game, what that would do to that program.
Yeah, and I don't know that Florida is bad enough to miss a bowl game. I do think they'll lose to A&M and Georgia. So you could be right. I mean, that could end up being the scenario that plays out. I don't know. I don't think they'll lose to Missouri. They'll get a win over UAB. And I think that Florida State game, they might have to, oddly enough, they might have to beat Florida State for bowl eligibility. And that's a team they haven't been able to score on in recent years. Mm-hmm. But that FSU team is not looking real good this year either. So, I don't know. It's a little early for me to tell with Florida, but I don't think they're very good.
So, it sounds like you're about to say John Gruden to Florida.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, groomers. Gator groomers. Gator groomers.
That'll be the next one.
You know, Mike, I always, every week, I kind of jump on an SEC team's bandwagon. Mm-hmm. You know, I kind of ride with a team and because they make me really happy, and I jump on that team's bandwagon because I don't mind being a bandwagon fan. I do it all the time. I did it with Mississippi State. Yep. I did it with Vanderbilt. I did it with Auburn. You pointed out last week how in love I am with Kerryon Johnson. I'm going to tell you, this week I started to jump on the Florida bandwagon if it weren't for those damn uniforms, because they said that they're going to try to do maybe make the Tom Petty thing permanent. Mm-hmm. I was like, hey, I'm on board with that. I'm going with the Gators. They're going to take down A&M this weekend. Then they announced those uniforms. And I'm like, well, I can't get behind you anymore.
Well, so. I think most sensible people are right there with you when it comes to those.
Yeah, well, sensible, that's definitely the word. That's definitely how I view it on a week-to-week basis when I – when I pick and choose my favorite teams. So, anyway, should be a fun one. Anything else from you?
No, just ready to get these games underway.
All right, Mike. Well, sounds good, my friend. We will talk once again, probably on Sunday evening. We will try to guess the lines of the Week 8 games as we do every week on Sunday afternoon. And we'll come back to you with another podcast once we do to get you started next week. Until then, enjoy your Saturday of SEC football. Hopefully, we'll get a ton of good games. For SEC Mike, I'm Cody McClure. This has been episode 19 of That SEC Podcast. See you next time.